views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Welcome to the hit show, Heart Center Talk Radio, with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com. During this hit show, David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. He invites you to engage him in discussing how these living messages and living revelations are relevant to your personal spiritual quests. Get a refreshing perspective on life and meet some of the beautiful people who embody change and inspire hope. Join our sacred circle of oneness and call 1-800-930-2819 to share. Now here is your host, David Christopher Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. I am David, and you're listening to Heart Center Talk Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. For the next hour, an exciting hour indeed, we'll be experiencing together an opportunity to open our hearts and minds as we explore some interesting concepts on spiritual and New Age subjects of all kinds. And every Wednesday on Heart Center Talk Radio, we are privileged to host a gifted author, a teacher, an artist, or a mystic to share his or her wisdom with us that we feel may be just exactly what you require right now to help you on your spiritual journey of love and light. Some food for thought for today. What new divine revelation is available for you as a conscious person to experience? What are you seeking right now today? Our topic is community, and could it be that a desire, maybe an inner desire for either a virtual or an actual physical community of people of like mind and heart could fulfill that need? Today, my special guest is Diana Leaf Christian, who I met in Asheville, North Carolina, as we were at an airport. And we took note of each other kind of just a few feet away, and we were kind of like checking each other out. And it was pretty cool. And I gave her my book, and she gave me a link to her website. And we're here today, and she is going to share her expertise on the formation, the life cycles, and the dynamics of spiritual communities, communities of all types, eco-villages. She's been observing them and interviewing hundreds of members of these communities for 2 decades now. And she's written books, and she teaches workshops all over the world. And Diana has very up close and personal encounters with intentional communities, what makes them succeed or fail. She was editor for 14 years of Community, a magazine of the Fellowship for Intentional Communities, which many feel was a real key resource since 1987 for education about community living. Diana left FIC to found the Eco Villages newsletter, which is a project of Cooperative Resources and Services Project. Her 2003 book, Creating a Life Together, Practical Tools to Grow Eco Villages and Intentional Communities, is considered by many to be the book on forming communities. She has visited and presented workshops throughout the world, and some of her favorite communities are Findhorn in Scotland, Damanhur in Italy, and one on the slopes of Mount Fuji in Japan. So Diana lives currently at Earth Haven Eco Village near Asheville, North Carolina, and we're Skyping with her today. Welcome, Diana.
Hi, thank you, David.
So I'm really excited about this topic because when I was 18, I sought a spiritual community. And I'd like you to just share kind of your vision and your passion for the community model and what you see within it as a key to the earth, the changes we're going through right now, and how we can thrive as individuals.
Well, I think you're asking me what would be a reason somebody would want to live in an intentional community or found one and live in one or join one. Is that correct?
Sure.
And I think you're asking that relative to deeper issues such as those of us that would like to see a better world, a better physical world than we have now, with better ways that humans treat each other than the kind of dog-eat-dog rat race with wars and conflicts all around the world. I'm guessing you're asking me. So for those of us interested in spiritual peace and actual peace in the world, what do communities have to offer? Am I getting kind of what you're asking?
Yeah, and just your passion. What's your vision maybe for the community you live in at Earth Haven, and how has it played out in your own personal life?
Okay, well, these are different questions, so I'll just answer them one at a time. The thing that I think communities can do for people who live in them is to help them experience a different way of life than mainstream culture, a way that has a lot more cooperation and collaboration, and often sharing resources, such as sharing a large community building that everyone together uses for various things, such as shared meals, not necessarily every shared meal, but many shared meals a week. Sharing roads, sharing tools, sharing a tractor. It's a different way of life than individualistic and materialistic life in modern mainstream Western culture. So many people who found communities, whether they're secular or spiritual, and if they're spiritual, whether they're one particular spiritual practice or whether they're multiple different practices being encouraged and supported, people who live in communities generally get to experience something different than most people do who live in Western culture. And I think that it's very beneficial and valuable to experience sharing decisions, co-creating your own self-governance, learning how to get along well with people, having a lot of wonderful, friendly connections with neighbors and friends and colleagues right where you live, whether it's urban or rural or somewhere in between. So, David, you just asked me my aspirations for living at Earth Haven and what I want to do here. Well, I just want to do what Earth Haven wants to do, which is why I joined it, which is to be a demonstration model of a more sustainable way of life, both socially in terms of our self-governance and how we get along, and economically in terms of can we make a living here in the mountains, in the rural countryside, ecologically, which is that we have small passive solar homes and we heat them with wood and we're off the grid and we have composting toilets and we grow a lot, although not all, of our own organic food. So we're an eco-village, and the purpose of an eco-village is to not only live in a sustainable way socially, economically, and ecologically, but also to be a place you can have people come and see what you're doing and get inspired, like classes and tours and workshops. So I live here and I contribute to that goal and that mission. So that's what I'm doing here.
Wonderful. Well, I lived in a community for over 20 years and it grew to 750 people with a bunch of families and kids. And it was quite interesting. And yet over time, it did actually dissolve more, and it was quite traumatic for us to go through that. What have you seen are the guidelines, the points that communities of all types must incorporate into their game plan in order to both survive and hopefully thrive?
Well, I actually have a lot of information about this because I have been fascinated with and quite heartbroken by the number of newly forming communities that don't succeed. It's about 90% that fail and maybe only 10% that succeed. I've also been fascinated and interested and saddened by communities that exist for a while and then disband, dissolve, as you said, David. And I'm interested in the reasons for why a big successful community might disband and dissolve. And I'm interested in the reasons why those who are trying to get started might have such a low success rate. And so when I was looking at communities who were getting formed back in the 1990s, which is when I did most of my research, I saw that there were specific things communities needed to have in place in order to continue to exist. And they were a shared, clear set of values that everybody shared, which gave rise to the mission and the purpose of the community. Why were they there? What were they doing? And why were they doing it? Everybody had to be on the same page with that, or it wouldn't work so well. Another factor would be a fair and participatory self-governance method with a clear and helpful, fair, participatory decision-making method. Decision-making is part of governance, but governance is more. Governance is what do you make decisions about, and decision-making is how do you make those decisions. Another thing is that the community would have a clear and thorough membership process, so new people who were interested in joining would know what they're joining and what they weren't joining. There would be a lot of orientation so they'd understand what was expected of them. And they were being assessed by the community as to whether they were a good fit, and vice versa. New incoming members, for example, should be willing to understand and support the mission of the community, to abide by its agreements, and to ideally get along well with most people there most of the time. Another factor that I noticed when I was doing my research was that the community needed to have a way to help people stay accountable to the community agreements, because it's quite demoralizing and creates a lot of conflict if somebody breaks the rules of the group, including when other people are keeping those rules and saying, hey, how come so-and-so is getting away with breaking the rules? This can be a lot of trouble in a community, and so there needs to be ways to gently, courteously, and with goodwill encourage people to keep the agreements. Another factor is that there needs to be good process and communication skills. It helps very much people realize that what they say and do in the community has considerably more effect on their neighbors and their friends in the community and on their own reputation than if they did not live in a community.
All right. Hey, we have to take a little break now. You're listening to Heart Center Talk Radio. I'm interviewing Diana Leaf Christian, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
We've already said
tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the Ascended Master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope, and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Do you want to enjoy your salad dressing without the guilt of calories, processed ingredients, salt, and carbohydrates? Galios miso dressings are created in a certified organic plant with all natural organic ingredients. Choose from 6 delicious flavors. Order your dressings online now and get free shipping. Mention Dr. Pat and you will get an additional 10% discount. Visit www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOSCafe.com.
Experience this summer solstice under the Montana big sky with campfires and hikes and the Heart Center's Conference for Soul Devotion with the Divine Mothers East and West. Come in person for a rare initiation by a divine being from Sirius, the 4 Hindu goddesses, and Kuan Yin, Venus, Mother Mary, and other divine feminine beings will bring blessings, miracles, clearances, and soul comfort. June 18th through the 22nd in Livingston, Montana, or online. Registration details at davidclewisconference.org.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew @AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
Tune in to Angels and Answers with Artie Hoffman, the hottest psychic with the warmest heart, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. With passion and a sense of humor, he delivers spiritual and motivational messages for both individuals and groups of people and is internationally known for his amazing psychic abilities. Don't forget to call in at 800-930-2819 for live on-air readings and visit Artie at artiehoffman.com.
The Read of a Lifetime, Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis, overflows with new vital revelations to enlighten your mind and transform your world. Learn to supercharge your aura with rainbow-colored radiance and magnetize your heart's highest desires. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura, it will change how you see yourself. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis. Order it today at davidclewisbook.org.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart Center Talk Radio with yours truly, David Christopher Lewis. And I'm interviewing today Diana Leaf Christian, who is sharing her insights on how intentional communities are formed, grow, and hopefully thrive, and hopefully don't falter. So I had to interrupt Diana at the break. Can you continue with the thread of thought
Sure.
that you were sharing with us, Diana? Go ahead.
Be happy to. What I was telling folks was the things that need to be in place in order for a new community to succeed. And we covered their participatory governance, a clear, thorough membership process. Most important of all, being on the same page for the mission and purpose of the community, a way to help people stay accountable to agreements. We were just starting to talk about having good communication and process skills, which means that you have to talk in more courteous, empathetic, connecting ways with your fellow community members than you might commonly do in your daily life when you don't live in community. I highly recommend learning the nonviolent communication method of talking with people, which tends to create more connection and goodwill than not using it. For conflict resolution, I recommend restorative circles, which is a method that includes some aspects nonviolent communication. Another thing that new forming communities need is to know what specific things they need to know for effective project management. They need to know about budgets and cash flow projections and strategic plans and contracts and agreements and legal entities and the kinds of things that any nonprofit or business would need to know so that they could go through time successfully and effectively. So I advise this to people starting new communities that they need all of these things. And when I'm meeting a community that's already up and running and they're saying, how do we exist and survive and thrive? And how do we become healthy and thriving? I say, you need three things: effective project management, creating lots of community glue, which are the shared enjoyable activities you do together. I'll talk about that more in a minute, David. And good process and communication skills. Again, I recommend nonviolent communication and restorative circles. If you create a lot of community glue, which is things that you do that make you feel good, singing together, dancing together, meditating, doing rituals, doing ceremonies, praying, work parties, shared meals, cooking together, cleaning up together, playing games and sports, frisbee, volleyball, football, soccer, ping pong, board games, Chinese checkers, any kind of board game, card games, charades, fun things like that. When people are having shared enjoyable activities, it creates a feeling of trust and connection and goodwill among the people who are doing the shared activities. This is specifically because of the hormone oxytocin, which gets secreted into the bloodstream when you're enjoying yourself in the presence of other people. So then your body, your neurological system, finds yourself feeling connected and feeling trust for those people that you're enjoying the shared activity with, which is why communities need to do a lot of fun things together, enjoyable things together. And that itself reduces conflict. And when conflict comes along, just having that thick amount of trust itself helps make the conflict resolution more easy.
Yeah. You know, in the community that I was a member of, there was kind of top-down management, and there was a spiritual leader. And when that leader retired and, you know, ultimately passed on, that's when the community had major issues. And, of course, there was the financial aspect that was also there. I see what you're sharing as essential, because when there is a circle, when there is communication and heart-based and very heart-centered and lively and creative discussion, this is what breeds the ongoingness and the creativity that is essential for the communities to survive and to thrive. Because, you know, we all go through challenges in our families, and a community really isn't it kind of a big family?
Well, if it's functioning well, yes, but it can also function like a big dysfunctional family, as you probably can imagine. David, could we talk a little bit about hierarchical governance and what happens when the hierarchical leader steps down or retires or dies?
Sure. And before we do that, we are offering all of our listeners today a 15-page report on the 19 steps, how people typically start a successful new eco-village or intentional community, which you have written, right? It's it's free. And it's on our heartcentertalkradio.org. Now, heartcentertalkradio.org, there's an S in there after hearts and no apostrophe. It's hearts, plural, centertalkradio.org. And you can click on the link and we will send you the free copy. So go ahead on this train of thought about the hierarchical structure.
Sure. I'll just say a word about the 19 steps handout. It was originally a chapter in a book on an anthology written in Asia to help people in Vietnam have better eco-village projects. It was created by a professor in Japan who's a friend of mine. And after I wrote this chapter, I said, this would make a good handout. And so I now hand it out in all my workshops. It's been translated into all these languages of the places that I go and teach how to start new communities. Anyway, we'll send you the English version. And I hope you find it helpful. It's the best of what I've been able to learn in this last 20 years of research. Okay, when there is a spiritual leader who is filled with love and joy and infused with spiritual inspiration, which I'm thinking you have told me, David, was the case with your community, and that person is the sole leader, there's kind of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, the community is probably going to thrive because the energy of kindness and goodness and spiritual reality emanating from that person and their decisions and their governance will probably be quite benign and supportive and beneficial. But the downside is they're suddenly gone because they leave the planet or they retire because maybe they become quite elderly. They may or may not have somebody else exactly like them to take their place. If they don't, who takes their place is probably just regular people, not somebody with such powerful spiritual gifts. And regular people need to know how to do governing a community. But if they don't, they'll probably trip and stumble and fall into the typical trap of arrogance and pride and controlling things and pushing people around and being too bossy. And I have seen that and heard about that happening in multiple different groups. And what really, really helps if there's one spiritual leader is that person trains other people on how to be good leaders. And or there is a very excellent plan already in place that people have already tried and practiced and they all know about it for shifting from one leader decides to we all decide. And shifting to the we all decide method needs to be some method that is fair and functional and it works really well. It can't just be random and, hey, let's just all talk until we figure it out because that doesn't work so well. So I'm not surprised that you had the experience you did, you and the 749 other people, and I'm so sorry it happened, but I want you to know it's not uncommon when there's one spiritual leader.
Right. Now, you mentioned, I think I've read a little bit. You talk about sociocracy, mm-hmm. which is also called dynamic governance. Can you share a little bit about that and how it differs from consensus and why it's so important for communities.
Sure. Although I'm guessing that very soon there will be another commercial break.
In about 2 minutes. So.
Okay. I want to give you a 2 minute overview and then we can say more if you like.
Sure.
Okay. Consensus is a decision-making method and it does not involve governance. It just involves how do we make decisions about the proposals we talk about. The way it classically has been presented in communities is that anybody can block a proposal at any time for any reason with no recourse whatsoever. There is a trend, however, in the communities movement in the U.S. and Europe to not allow that kind of control and power over the group anymore, but rather to have some criteria for what is a legitimate block and or ways to have people who block get involved in co-creating a new proposal that everybody can live with. Sociocracy, in a nutshell, is a governance structure and a decision-making method. It's much bigger than consensus because it's a whole governance structure. And I can say more about that after the break.
Okay. You know, the community that I lived in did kind of falter, as you shared. And I saw that there was almost a, in my opinion and other people's opinion, the kind of a juxtaposition of individuals who tried to get to the top and have control or power or authority or a voice. And it was problematic. And we've formed a community which is now more virtual in our Heart Center movement. And we haven't formed a physical community yet because I believe that we are searching for these keys. And I really appreciate your sharing and your wisdom because it will help us as we begin to form them. So I'm David Christopher Lewis. You're listening to Heart Center Talk Radio. I'm speaking with Diana Leaf Christian. We're going to take a little break and be back in a few minutes.
Tune in to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis, a gifted clairaudient, Aquarian spiritual author, and talented musical composer on TransformationTalkRadio.com every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, with delivering more than 4,000 messages from angels, masters, and divine beings. David will share the ascended master's teachings, insights, and surprising revelations to light bearers. Meet transformative guests who embody change and inspire hope and get a refreshing and deeply meaningful perspective on life.
Do you want to enjoy your salad dressing without the guilt of calories, processed ingredients, salt, and carbohydrates? Galios miso dressings are created in a certified organic plant with all-natural organic ingredients. Choose from 6 delicious flavors. Order your dressings online now and get free shipping. Mention Dr. Pat and you will get an additional 10% discount. Visit www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOSCafe.com.
Experience this summer solstice under the Montana big sky with campfires and hikes and the Heart Center's Conference for Soul Devotion with the Divine Mothers East and West. Come in person for a rare initiation by a divine being from Sirius. The 4 Hindu goddesses and Kuan Yin, Venus, Mother Mary, and other divine feminine beings will bring blessings, miracles, clearances, and soul comfort. June 18th through the 22nd in Livingston, Montana, or online. Registration details at davidclewisconference.org.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS. Tune in to Angels and Answers with Artie Hoffman, the hottest psychic with the warmest heart, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. With passion and a sense of humor, he delivers spiritual and motivational messages for both individuals and groups of people and is internationally known for his amazing psychic abilities. Don't forget to call in at 800-930-2819 for live on-air readings and visit Artie at ArtieHoffman.com.
The Read of a Lifetime, Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis overflows with new vital revelations to enlighten your mind and transform your world. Learn to supercharge your aura with rainbow-colored radiance and magnetize your heart's highest desires. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura. It will change how you see yourself. Advanced Studies of the Human Aura by David Christopher Lewis. Order it today at davidclewisbook.org.
So we're back on Heart Center Talk Radio. I'm David Christopher Lewis interviewing Diana Leaf Christian from a spiritual community or a intentional eco-village in North Carolina called Earth Haven. And Diana has written a fantastic book, Creating a Life Together, Practical Tools to Grow Eco-Villages and Intentional Communities. And that was published in 2003. And I'm kind of curious, I'm sure a lot has happened in the last 11 years. Can you kind of tell us what's new and what you've learned since that book was published that you think our listening audience today would benefit from?
Well, in the book, I recommend consensus decision making because at the time, that's what most communities were using. Hardly any communities use majority rule voting, although I know of a few who do. Spiritual communities generally have one leader who's the spiritual teacher, and then that leader decides things. But most communities used consensus with everybody together using that decision-making method. And I recommended it in my book and spent two chapters writing about it, but I now don't recommend it at all. I recommend sociocracy instead, or I recommend the in-street consensus method. In is the name of a street in Davis, California. And in-street cohousing is a community there, which about 25 years ago came up with a way to use consensus that works very, very well and does not yield unhappy, disgruntled members, because people who block proposals are obligated to help co-create new proposals to address the same issue. And if they don't, the original proposal comes back for a 75% supermajority vote. So I recommend that method for decision-making and or sociocracy, as I mentioned before. It's a whole governance structure that includes decision-making method, and it also includes using feedback loops to help always improve what the group is doing. So that's the biggest difference from when I wrote the book.
Great. Hey, what are some of the most amazing communities that you've been able to visit throughout the world? I mentioned at the onset Damanhur in Italy, which I would love to go to someday because I've seen a video of what they've created there. That one and others, what are some of your favorites?
Well, when you say most amazing, I think, oh, in terms of what criteria? And then when you say favorites, I think, in terms of what criteria? So I'll tell you some criteria I have and some favorites, okay?
Sure.
One thing I really like is if the people seem happy and upbeat and cohesive and having good relationships with each other. And if the tone of the place seems really nice, tone, I guess I mean vibes, you know, emotional, spiritual tone, to the degree that I think that I can detect such a thing. So I really like La Cité Écologique in Colebrook, New Hampshire, and La Cité Écologique, the original community in Homme du Nord, Quebec. These are French-speaking communities. They're based on the Western spiritual tradition of Omrim Michael Ivanov, who worked with ascended masters like you folks in the Hearts Center do. And so they're a Western spiritual tradition, and they created their community back in the 70s in order to have a school for their children that emphasized the spiritual aspects of the human being as well as basic learning of things like reading, writing, and arithmetic. And so the parents would work in community-owned businesses. It's an income-sharing community, so the money from the businesses goes straight into the community's coffers, and that funds the school and pays the salaries of the teachers who are trained members of the community who are grammar school teachers. So they've been doing the school, which includes a high school, now for all these years, both in Quebec and in Colebrook, New Hampshire, which is a new place, about 10 years old in the U.S., It's a daughter community, that is. They had a little new community that they started doing the same things. And they have various different community-owned businesses that helps fund what they do. I like the vibes. I like the tone. I like the energy. I like their spiritual emphasis. And so that's a community that impresses me a lot.
Wonderful. Well, I've been privileged to visit another community based on the following of the teachings of Omram Mikhail Ivanhoff, and it's the Ideal Society in British Columbia, just over the border from Montana, where I live. And the people are fantastic. They do solar gazing in the morning, or they're there meditating with the sun as it rises from spring to autumn, the spring equinox to the autumn equinox. And they do the panurethmi taught by Peter Dunov. And we're going to have some of the members of that community come to our summer conference June 18th through 22nd here in Livingston, Montana. And we're looking forward to them coming. So I'm not surprised that you felt the love and the light of the people there, because I felt the same thing. And in fact, in our community, our virtual community, we follow those teachings and we read the daily meditation daily. And it's really a fantastic composite of the most beautiful teachings of a great master from Europe. So we were speaking about some of the components that the reasons why communities do succeed, which you mentioned communication, nonviolent communication, Marshall Rosenberg, which we've studied. Now, there's a guy that lives really close to where you are named Robert Tennyson Stephen, who's written a book called Conscious Language. Have you considered, or do you, have you read that book? And if so, would you consider that would be a good component for conscious language and communication?
I'm sorry, I don't know about it.
Oh, well, it is absolutely phenomenal. And after we studied nonviolent communication and did our role-playing and figuring out how we can dissolve and resolve conflict through this wonderful methodology that Marshall Rosenberg has taught and used throughout the world, we came upon this book, Conscious Language, and it is fantastic. And Robert lives right there near Asheville, North Carolina. So check him out. Anyway, back to our main topic. For communities, what are the, if we focus a little bit just momentarily on the negative thing, what did you find were the reasons why communities dissolve or fail so that we can avoid that as we move forward?
Well, the reason that communities failed, as best as I could see, was not having in place those essential things that were needed at the very beginning that I mentioned earlier. Sort of like the presence of certain things gave a much greater likelihood that a new forming community would succeed. And the absence of one or more of those things would create what I call structural conflict. So I better explain that. Structural conflict is the term that I made up for when a newly forming group, and by that, that could mean in the first few years, is having terrible conflict. And it looks like it's interpersonal conflict. It looks like you're behaving like that, and she's behaving like that, and I'm behaving like this. And boy, do we need to have some mediation because of our bad behavior. But that's only on the surface. What's really going on, in my opinion, is that something very, very important and basic that should have been there all along is not there. And I call the things that should be there structures. So I call it structural conflict, meaning that if you had that thing in place, this conflict probably wouldn't have even come up. So what are the things that you need? The same things I mentioned before, a shared mission and purpose, a fair and participatory governance and decision-making method, a way to help people stay accountable to the group agreements, creating community glue through lots of shared enjoyable activities, a clear and thorough membership process, understanding how to do effective project management involving money, time, energy, and other resources. All these things are necessary for a newly forming group. having good communication and process skills and having a conflict resolution method before you ever have a conflict, for the same reason that children know how to do a fire drill when there isn't any fire, because that's when you can practice, when there's no fire. So I recommend these things highly to the groups that I work with who are starting out. And wonderful. I recommend it to you and your folks.
Absolutely. You know, permaculture is a term that's fairly recently coined, and we are following permaculture in our virtual community and doing it on an individual scale now. Have you incorporated permaculture and some of the principles that Anastasia has elucidated in the Ringing Cedars books that have been translated from Russian into English? And if so, how do you see permaculture as part and parcel to the evolution and the success of communities?
Well, I'm going to separate out the concepts of Anastasia's teachings in the Ringing Cedars books from permaculture, which, of course, was created in Australia in the 70s. So I'm going to come back to Anastasia just a minute. First of all, the principles of permaculture design are to observe what you're going to be designing about and see what the natural flows are, and then design a way along the way that it actually goes, rather than to go against it. So permaculture designers designing a home site or a landscape, of course, observe how nature works, and then they design the home site or the landscape exactly along with the way with nature works to get a higher yield, to get more food, water, rich, nourishing soil, more heat and coolness for the house. By the way, everything is designed. That's what I did when I observed how you design communities. I observed what people were doing and what they weren't doing, and I observed what worked well and what didn't work. And then I thought, if you design communities along with the way human nature actually is, instead of going against it, what you get is a higher yield, just like in permaculture. Well, what I mean by higher yield is you get more happiness and more success and more effectiveness. So I'm totally for permaculture design. Of course, I know that it's a set of design principles and not a set of do's and don'ts, like do this and don't do that.
Right.
You can do do's and don'ts in permaculture, but it has to be site-specific after you've observed your landscape. So because it's a design system, I know that. The other thing is, I live in Earth Haven, which was designed by permaculture designers. My own home site is designed by me through permaculture principles. So I'm living permaculture morning, noon, and night here where I live at Earth Haven. I highly recommend it. I recommend it for site planning, though I don't mention it when I talk about structural conflicts, because theoretically a community could not use permaculture design and have all the other structures in place, and they would still thrive.
Yeah. Hey, we're at the time for our third and final intermission here. You're listening to Heart Center Talk Radio. I'm David Christopher Lewis with Diana Leaf Christian, a dynamic person. You can tell, a wonderful speaker, as well as someone who's very effective and efficient in what she has synchronized into this understanding of community. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Feel happiness is just beyond your grasp? Want to move past old hurts or traumas? Not feeling comfortable in your body? Consider an intuitive healing session with Christy Borst. Christy has a divine healing gift, and her process will help you experience a perspective reboot. Release that which no longer serves you. For more information and to contact Christy Borst, visit healingresonance.us. That's healingresonance.us.
The Heart Center invites you to join the conversation with Ascended Masters Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, El Moria, and Afra. One Wednesday each month, enjoy their soul-nourishing messages. Ask them your questions and share what is on your heart. The Masters Speak series happens all through 2014. Moria shares on Wednesday, May 21st, and Mother Mary, June 11th at 7 p.m. Mountain. Details at davidclassclass.org.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm David Christopher Lewis. It's Heart Center Talk Radio. I'm interviewing Diana Leaf Christian. And before I ask her a couple final questions here, I'd just like to share that we have a series of free monthly hour-long dialogues via phone or internet called The Master Speak. And these occur on a Wednesday evening, and we have one coming up on June 21st, and we're really excited to share, to have some it's next Wednesday, a week from today, June 11th, and Jackie Fleeter will be on behalf of Mother Mary, speaking on abundance, and that'll be from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mountain Time, live on heartcenter.org, heartscenter.org, hearts plural, center, no apostrophe, .org. So check it out, listen to Jackie, and these go on monthly. I'm on the other three out of four, every other month I'm on, other than when Jackie is on. So, Diana, in conclusion for today, we were talking just briefly about Anastasia, or Anastasia, as some people pronounce her, a Russian mystic who lives in the taiga or Siberia, who elucidated some eternal truths in these books that were written by Vladimir Maigret, who they had two children with. She had the children, he sired the children through her. So it's an amazing story. What have you learned from those books that relate to community and could give our listening audience some understanding of where we're going as a planet and what we can do to save the Earth right now?
Well, I haven't learned anything in her books about anything other than fabulous, amazing, wonderful ideas that are inspiring and interesting and fascinating and having to do with how to do gardening. She does not address, as far as I know, anything having to do with how you actually create a community at all. She says get a one-hectare plot for you and your family and plant certain things on it in a certain way. The man who in the United States publishes the Ringing Cedars books, I think his name is Leonid Shirashkin. He gave a workshop in upstate New York, and one of my friends attended the workshop and took notes and wrote an article for my newsletter, EcoVillages, which is ecovillages.org or ecovillagenews.org. And I'm sending you, David, I'm sending you the link to this article. The article is called From Russia with Love, and it talks about the two communities that Shirashkin describes, one which had tremendous, awful, awful problems. It was called Rodnoye. And they had such very bad difficulties, and they had all the same bad difficulties you would have in any U.S. community if you didn't have the right things in place. They had structural conflict big time. They didn't have hardly any of those things I mentioned in the last part of this interview. They didn't have them in place because they didn't know they did. They'd never done this before, and Anastasia doesn't mention it at all. She's giving advice on gardening, but not on these matters. The other community, which is called Kovchag, was started by a fellow named of Fyodor Latsutin, and he's someone whom I know and that whom I've met subsequently, and he knew exactly how to start a community because he knew about how to start projects. So he started Kovchegin, and it began to thrive, completely different, big contrast with Rodnaye. And the reason that it did is that he put all the structures in place. He never read my book. It hadn't been translated to Russian yet, though it has been now. And he just knew to do these things. So that community, Kovchegin, is thriving. And Rodnaye, I don't know how they're doing now, but they had terrible problems. And so what happens in the West in terms of starting a new successful community also happens in the East, you know, in Russia.
Yeah.
However, I don't know that Anastasia's advice about gardening has any relevance one way or the other to how communities succeed or thrive, except that you'd have better gardens if you did what she said.
Well, yeah, I think that the agrarian lifestyle is a little bit more, you know, it facilitates community better than just, let's say, living in the city, although there are probably wonderful little close-knit communities that follow various models where they do live, you know, close together. There is some sharing in the cities. The reason I ask that is because I'm aware in one of the books how when a couple gets married, the people in the local community would bring, a tree and help plant it in a certain area. They bring something to that couple that actually would help their, what they call the kin domain, their space of love. And that community spirit was there. This was like in ancient times in Russia, and it would be nice to see that type of model occur again. But you're right. I don't think that she, in the books, it wasn't elucidated exactly how you form a community per se, except I believe that permaculture is, the concepts are lend themselves toward the community forming and being very successful because it is based on natural principles.
Well, I'd like to request respectfully that I disagree with you. Permaculture principles can be applied anywhere, city, country, town, suburbia, and intentional communities that are successful and thriving occur, including eco-villages, occur downtown in big cities, in suburbs, in small towns, in semi-rural areas, and in rural areas. I think that you personally and I also may have a preference for a rural community, but it doesn't mean the other kind don't happen and they're real successful.
Yeah, well, you're right. You're the one who studied it. I have seen people live close-knit in cities who do well, except I just see them as a different type. It's just a different type of community.
Well, you're talking about your preference, and I think everybody has a perfect right to have a preference. Some people want to live in a city, and they want to have community energy living in a city, and they do.
Yeah, you're right. Well, what would be your primary message based on all of your experience, all of your writing, all of your communication and your interviews? What would you like to share as your primary message to our listening audience today?
Well, for those who are interested in joining a community, I would suggest learning as much about communities as you possibly can, and visiting several of them and having lots of questions and asking your questions in a respectful way and not bothering people when they're busy, but finding out when it is possible to ask questions. And I'd ask who owns the land, who makes decisions, who has decision rights, and how do they get them? What is the membership process? Do you get your money back if you leave? What does it cost to live here? What does it cost to join? Things like that. If you're going to start a community, I'd suggest learning as much as possible about how to start them. I'm happy to send out my handout, the 19 steps, how people typically start a successful new eco-village or community. And I would suggest reading that and seeing where that leads you. There's lots of ways to learn about communities, lots of books about communities. There's my books about how to start one, how to join one. There's YouTube videos about communities. And the best thing of all is visiting them.
Thank you, Diana. Well, it's been a pleasure having you. I really appreciate your wisdom and your sharing of what you have learned with our audience today. Again, you can go to heartcentertalkradio.org. You can get the free booklet that Diana mentioned that we mentioned earlier. You can also get a free ebook on the use of the violet laser light or lightning, and receive upcoming events and class notification and recent messages from the masters that come through me. And next week, I'll be privileged to have as my guest, let's see now, I'm going to look it up here right now. Well, I'll be on same time, same station next week, and I'll be sharing about Ringing Cedars, the series of books, the 9 books, and the Russian mystic Anastasia or Anastasia, a little bit about permaculture and how this fits into what we can do collectively to assist our planet. So I'd like to thank Brian, our technician today at Transformation Talk Radio. It's been a pleasure to be with all of you. Take care. God bless you. And open your heart and keep your mind free and liberated. Thank you.
You've been listening to Heart Center Talk Radio with David Christopher Lewis. Tune into this hit show every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as David shares received messages from the angels, masters, and divine beings and touches on progressive revelations for today on diverse topics including divine science, advanced alchemy, cosmic solar awareness, the new blue wave, abundance and healing. Get a refreshing perspective on life and meet some of the beautiful people who embody change and inspire hope. For more information and to contact David, visit HeartCenterTalkRadio.org or call 360-894-4410. See you next week.
Feel happiness is just beyond your grasp. Want to move past old hurts or traumas? Not feeling comfortable in your body? Consider an intuitive healing session with Christy Borst. Christy has a divine healing gift, and her process will help you experience a perspective reboot. Release that which no longer serves you. For more information and to contact Christy Borst, visit healingresonance.us. That's healingresonance.us.
The Heart Center invites you to join the conversation with Ascended Masters Mother Mary, Kuan Yin, El Morya, and Afra. One Wednesday each month, enjoy their soul-nourishing messages. Ask them your questions and share what is on your heart. The Masters Speak series happens all through 2014. Morya shares on Wednesday, May 21st, and Mother Mary, June 11th at 7 p.m. Mountain. Details at davidclassclass.org.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.